is risen, Evangel. Happy Easter to you all. We invite you to stand, those of you who are at home joining with us in praise and worship. He is risen. We have so much to be grateful for. We have a mediator. We have a savior. We have one who stands between us and God. We have one who's declared that we are sinless in his righteousness. Are you ready to rejoice this morning?
Our Savior lives.
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 Our Savior lives. He bore the cross, he the grave. Why don't you say hi to someone as you're seated this morning? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. We're so glad that you're here with us in this place this morning. And for those of you who are joining us via the live stream, we're glad that you're here too. I was feeling a little emotional as I was sitting on my chair this morning, as I was reflecting on Easter 4 years ago. I was the only one in the building. I was back in that back corner with a black drape behind me and an iPhone on a stand doing the first recordings of our services because it became obvious that this was going to be more than a week or so that we weren't going to be able to gather. And then to be able to be here this morning and to worship with all of you and to hear your singing and just to be together is just, yeah, that was just, this is just a really special moment that we can be together. And it just reminds us to never take these moments for granted, amen? It's the importance that we have that when we can gather. So welcome. We're glad you're here. And if this is the first time that you've ever been here, we want to extend a special welcome to you and just say that we want to know you, we want to serve you, we want to come alongside you. And if you would be so kind as to fill out a connection card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you, and you can take that to the information desk at the end of the service and drop it off there. And if you want us to follow up, just leave request that on the card and leave a number where we can reach you. So thank you so much for that. We have a couple of announcements. First, I just want to say, last Sunday morning after our morning service, we had our annual business meeting, and I just want us to welcome Nagest and Galilee to the Administrative Council. They were appointed to the Administrative Council, so welcome to you. And also, I want to say thank you to Amor, and also want to say thank you to Rob for serving so faithfully on the Administrative Council as their terms came to an end. And I also just want to take this opportunity to say from me how much I appreciate the staff and team that are here at Evangel. As we have our annual meeting, and part of our report is our ministry's report, and there are so many wonderful things there, and they are so dedicated and so passionate and so committed to serving this congregation and this community, and I just want to say thank you to them as well. So God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, you can do that. Couple of upcoming things. On Sunday, April the 21st, we're going to be celebrating a water baptism service, and if you're interested in being baptized, or you have questions about being baptized, please let us know. And we'd like to know by next Sunday if possible. So please get to us, let us know that. And we'd be happy to work with you in being a part of that Baptism Sunday, April the 21st. We've been announcing for a while our PA Day Camp, which is scheduled for April the 8th, which is next Monday. Just to remind you that if you are going to register your children for the camp, tomorrow is the deadline to do that. And you can register by going onto our website. The first slide that's there has a Read More button. When you click that, there's the whole application process, and you can be a part of that as well. I also want to let you know, sadly, this week, Sandra Clark's mom passed away. And so just to let you know that the funeral will be on Wednesday at Dodsworth and Brown Funeral Home in Burlington. Visitation's at 10, and the service is at 11. And Sandra, we're praying for you and your family. And but if any of you are available and you want to go by the visitation or the service, it's on Wednesday at Dodsworth and Brown. I'm going to invite those of you this morning, if you have children who are newborn up to age 3, our nursery is available anytime in the service, and all you have to do is just go through these doors over here, down the stairs, and on your left-hand side is our nursery. You can leave your child there. And for those who have children age 4 up to grade 5, I'm going to ask children if you just come around the side here through these doors, and your volunteers are going to be waiting for you in that foyer area right there to take you downstairs, and parents, you can pick your children up down there after the service. This time, we're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Our hospitality team is going to collect those, and if you would like to give electronically, you can easily do that by sending an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you. Thank you. Continue to worship him. Carlene, I'll hand it back over to you at this time.
You may remain seated while you worship in your tithes and offerings. We'll invite you to stand with us in a moment. You are always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence me for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
Thank you. but the grave could not contain you, for you wear the victor's crown. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring,
God of the universe, but we have his reward in our praise this morning and in our redeemed and blood-bought lives. And in the powerful name of Jesus, we say amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Carlene, for leading us so beautifully this morning. What a great weekend of celebration it has been. One Easter Sunday morning, a woman was on her way to church, but her car wouldn't start. Not wanting to be late for the special service, she ordered an Uber to pick her up. Car arrived, she quickly jumped in the back. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question, but the driver didn't respond. So she leaned forward and she tapped the driver on the arm. The driver let out a loud scream, swerved into the other lane, almost hitting another car, slammed on the brakes, and skidded over to the shoulder. The woman and the driver sat in silence for a minute from the shock of what just had happened. And finally, she said apologetically, "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping your shoulder would alarm you like that." "No, you really didn't do anything wrong," said the driver. "It's just that this is my first day driving an Uber. For the last 30 years, I've been driving a funeral hearse." I would think that transitioning from that job to this one would be quite an undertaking. Thank you, thank you. Dad joke right there. There's no question that there's a significant relationship between fear and death. And today, we know, is Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday, a day of hope because Jesus is alive. We've been singing about that and celebrating that all morning. For the disciples on that first Easter Sunday, if you will, that Resurrection Sunday, they were experiencing the fear that was created by the uncertainty associated with Jesus' death. And Jesus' presence addressed their fears and brought them peace. And so we're going to take a look at this passage this morning, and we will be reminded today that Jesus brings peace and purpose into our fear and our uncertainty. So let's take a look through our scripture this morning. Fear. The timing of this scripture that I've read is the evening of the resurrection. I found it interesting. You know, this morning I was up. I'm usually up early, but today I was up a little extra early. And I had some tasks to do because family are coming for Easter dinner. And I was waiting for the sun to rise. And it wasn't lost on me how shallow I am. Because I thought, the women were waiting for the sun to rise so they could go and prepare the body of Jesus. I'm waiting for the sun to rise so I can go to the fridge in the garage and get the ham without running into a skunk. It wasn't lost on me how shallow I was as I waited for the sunrise this morning. Earlier that morning, Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb and found that the stone was rolled away and Jesus' body was gone. And immediately she ran and she found Peter and John. And she told them that the stone had been moved, that Jesus' body was gone, that she didn't know where they, perhaps the Romans or the religious leaders, had put him. And so Peter and John ran to the tomb, and they found the stone had been moved, and the linen was lying there inside the tomb, along with a cloth that was neatly folded over into a separate area. Clearly, Jesus was gone. But it says that they still didn't understand that Jesus had been resurrected. The absence of his body created more uncertainty for the disciples. And so later that day is where our story picks up. The disciples are hiding in a room. The doors are locked. And we're told why. They are in there because they are afraid of the Jewish leaders. Specifically, they were afraid of those who were instrumental in having Jesus killed. As his followers, they were afraid that they may still be in danger. So they're staying out of sight, safe and waiting for things to blow over. Now, it's important to not underestimate the impact of the crucifixion on the disciples. Despite Jesus' efforts, and we spent 10 weeks exploring the farewell discourse, his final words to them, despite his efforts to prepare them for this event, they still didn't understand. And they were somehow still totally unprepared for what they had witnessed and experienced. The trauma of watching Jesus being arrested and beaten and mocked and ultimately killed by the most vile means of that time had impacted them significantly. And now they're waiting for their own fate to play out. In the midst of their fear and confusion and pain, Jesus appeared in the room with them and says, "Peace be with you." It was a good gift to bring. I mean, if you're going to bring a hostess gift to a room filled with people who are scared to death, peace is a good one. He says, "Peace be with you. Shalom." In Luke's account of this event, he tells us that the disciples thought Jesus was a ghost. I mean, the doors are locked. The door didn't open. And a dead man, a man they assume was dead, appeared in the room with them. I mean, what else would you think? And that's likely why he showed them his hands and his feet to prove to them, to show them, "It's me. It's me." The crucified one had risen. Instantly, their fear lifted. And his peace overwhelmed them, and it says they were filled with joy. It's really fun doing the Easter message this year in the Gospel of John after spending 10 weeks in the Gospel of John because you see a lot of what Jesus said unfolding as he said it would. Before he died, he said to them, "I tell you the truth, you're going to weep. And you're going to mourn over what is going to happen to me. It's coming. And the world's going to rejoice about that. You're going to grieve. But your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy." John 16, verse 20. And now in this moment, that promise that Jesus made to them as he was sharing his final words is now fulfilled, and they are filled with joy. He was alive, and because he was alive, everything changed, and they had peace. Secondly, uncertainty. For the disciples, the crucifixion of Jesus resulted in more than the loss of someone they loved. It created confusion and uncertainty regarding the mission that they had been preparing for with Jesus over the past few years. What was all that teaching about? What was that about where they were sent out on their own to be trained for the future? What was that all about? Why would Jesus even say to them, you know what, greater things are you going to do? Why would all of that take place? It just seems so pointless now. Everything in their lives was dependent on Jesus, and Jesus was dead, and they thought the mission had died with him. And so instead of going out, they turned in. After all, with Jesus' death, there was no longer a motivation to do anything. But now, in light of the resurrection, now in light of the fact that Jesus is alive and Jesus has appeared to them, the motivation of the mission has become priority once again. And Jesus said to them, he's there, he's bringing peace, they're excited, they're celebrating, but he's like, okay, but I'm not done yet. There's still more I want you to know. He said, as the Father sent me to speak the truth, to do his work, to lay down my life, I am now sending you. I'm sending you to carry on what I began. You will now speak the truth. You will now do his work. You will lay down your lives for him. The model of how they were doing it before would change, of just following Jesus and watching him, but the mission and the message would still be the same. This is not a new work he's giving them. He's carrying on the same work, but it's different circumstances. And so Jesus' presence had not only given them peace, which was really, really important, but it gave them a purpose again. It gave them their purpose back, a purpose to proclaim the kingdom of God, a purpose to see lives changed with the message of Jesus. Their purpose was restored. Final thing I want us to see there is change. What takes place in the next two verses, I'll admit, is a source of significant debate among theologians in terms of what is happening with Jesus breathing on them and what did Jesus mean when he said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. So what? Like, I have the ability to forgive your sins? And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven? Like, this is complicated. You know, and the people who think it's not complicated, it's probably a good sign that you're really not getting it. Because this is really, really complicated. So let's try to unpack it a little bit. The word breathe here is only used in one other place in all of Scripture. And it's used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. Creation was complete with the breath of God. And in light of Jesus' death and resurrection, there is now provision for what the Apostle Paul calls a new creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. They are a new creation. And so the disciples are a part of this new creation. And it is the Holy Spirit that completes the new creation as the Holy Spirit is received. And so the disciples are living examples of what it means to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Greek language in this statement, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven, and if you do not forgive them, they're not. It's tricky. It really is tricky. I saw a really funny video this week where there was a pastor who was promoting the value of the King James Bible as the only Bible you should ever read. And he made the statement, you know, the King James Bible is so good it can fix the Greek. I'm thinking, okay, that's a whole discussion right there. This Greek is tricky. What I believe is happening here is that Jesus, with this statement, is framing his mission. The mission of Jesus is about calling people to repentance and forgiveness. And when we live out the gospel of Jesus, when we proclaim the good news of Jesus, we're announcing the need for repentance and also the provision of forgiveness through Jesus. We're offering the assurance of forgiveness based on the provision of Jesus in his cross and resurrection. And so proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ presents people with a choice to either accept Jesus' forgiveness or reject Jesus' forgiveness. And so followers of Jesus present the opportunity of forgiveness to others, but it is the Holy Spirit who enables that person to receive that forgiveness and become this new creation. Aren't you glad I fixed all that for you? The Holy Spirit is the power of the mission, both in terms of making salvation through Jesus possible and empowering Jesus' followers to carry on the mission he's given us. And so we may find it interesting, because you read this and you think, why is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit in a text that's dealing with the resurrection? Well, you may remember, if you track with us for 10 weeks through the farewell discourse, Jesus actually talked about the Holy Spirit more in the farewell discourse than he did any other topic. More than the cross, more than dying, more than any other thing. He talked about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so again, he brings it around. So all that being said, there are a couple of things that I'd like to focus on from our scripture today as we consider what we've talked about. The first thing I want to talk about is barriers. I think you would agree with me that there's a lot of fear and uncertainty in our world right now. I mean, our world seems like it's a dumpster fire. There's disease. I mean, measles are back. I mean, seriously, you know, there's disease. There's food insecurity, there's housing insecurity, there's war, and there's inflation, and there's disasters and fires, and it's just so much fear and so much uncertainty in our world. There's also a lot of fear and uncertainty in many of our individual lives right now because of personal circumstances and personal realities, things that we are facing every day of our lives that bring fear and uncertainty into our individual lives that are far away from all those things that may be happening around the world. When the disciples felt threatened and were experiencing fear and uncertainty and confusion and hopelessness and disappointment, they responded by creating a barrier, a wall around themselves and the source of their fear. For them, it was literal walls with a locked door. Their response was a common response to fear when threatened. When we are threatened, we most often default to protecting ourselves by putting walls around our lives. We retreat. We put barriers up around our lives in an attempt to protect ourselves, to maybe keep ourselves safe. We want to keep certain people out. We want to keep certain realities away from us. And as a result, we often feel then isolated and trapped by our fears. Our freedom is robbed by our fears because we've isolated ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered what they were doing while they were in the room. Do you ever wonder about that? I mean, this doesn't really matter, but it's just for free. But you ever wonder, like, are they sitting there in silence? Or are they talking it out? Well, trying to process it, you know, out loud? Or someone trying to be silent and being really annoyed by the person who needs to talk it out? I don't know what's going on in this room. I don't know what they're trying to do, but I know that they're in here and they've barricaded themselves and they've done it because they are scared to death. And it wasn't a long time that they've been in here. I mean, this is not weeks and months. This is just a couple of days at best. But I'm sure it must have felt like an eternity in that room. I mean, you know what it's like, right? When someone comes to visit you at your house, a couple days can feel like eternity where you're in the room like that. My mother-in-law's here. It never feels like that when you're with us. It's always such a joy. Yeah. Just a couple of days, but I'm sure it felt like an eternity. Their lives had been turned upside down. Nothing made sense. And it sometimes feels like that for us too, doesn't it? It just seems like all of a sudden our worlds, our lives just got turned upside down and nothing makes sense anymore. What just changed? What just happened? And we want those circumstances to change. We want to get it back upright. And it seems like it's dragging on. Even a day seems like it's dragging on. An hour seems like it's dragging on. But there's no apparent change in view. I mean, how long do you think they were thinking they were going to be in that room? I don't know. They probably didn't have a plan. They probably just got in there. Okay, we're safe. Well, now what? I don't know. And while it's true that the barriers can sometimes keep people and circumstances at bay for a while, what I love about this passage is it shows us that of all the walls we put up and all the barriers we create and all of our efforts to isolate ourselves, somehow Jesus still gets through. He just shows up right there in the middle of it. And I don't know about you, but if I was Jesus, I wouldn't show up in the middle of my stuff. I'd stay away from it. Well, no, he passes right through those walls that I build, those barriers that I put up, and he walks right into the middle of my upside-down world, and he says, peace. Shalom. Peace. His presence speaks peace to our fear and our turmoil. Jesus desires to bring peace into our lives, into our families, into our circumstances, into our uncertainties, into our fears. And he's come to each of us today, right here, even in this room. Some of us walked in here with this big wall around us coming in this morning, right? Smiling through the hole, pretending we're okay, but the walls are there. And he's come to each of us right here today or wherever we're listening and watching today, and he's offering us his peace. He's announcing his peace. The wounds he bears secured our peace. The one who overcame death and the grave and rose again can help us overcome the fears and the uncertainties of our lives. No barriers we put up, no walls we hide behind can keep Jesus away. He's relentless. He pursues us because he loves us. And so Easter reminds us, the resurrection reminds us, when all seems hopeless and we're overwhelmed by the fear that's been created by circumstances, Jesus restores our hope and brings peace. A peace that we don't even understand into our lives. Secondly, purpose. As followers of Jesus, we have a purpose. We have a purpose. Our purpose is to make Jesus known. Our purpose is to live like Jesus lived. Our purpose is to love like Jesus loved. Our purpose is to give our lives to serving him and others. And fear caused by circumstances can rob us of our purpose, can cause us to lose our focus. Fear and uncertainty often cause us to turn our focus inward, focusing on ourselves, focusing on our circumstances. When facing fears, the disciples turn their focus on their circumstances, on their grief, on their fear, and as a result of that, they lost sight of their purpose. It wasn't even on their radar. It wasn't in their minds. They had completely lost focus of the purpose, and they were just looking at what was going on and their fear. And Jesus brought peace to them, but he also reminded them, hey, why I have you here, there is a purpose that you are still to fulfill, and in order to fulfill that purpose, you have to shift your focus. You have to shift your focus outward, not inward. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. It's not inward, it's outward. That the Holy Spirit would help them to turn outward and take their focus off of their own fears and back on their purpose. Now, I'm sure you, like me, have throughout our lives have had the opportunity to observe how people respond to hardship, loss, pain, sickness, including ourselves, how we respond to these things. And we'll notice that some become very overwhelmed, or perhaps we have become very overwhelmed, and as a result, we turn inward. We turn inward and losing focus of most of the other things around our lives. People shut down. They just shut down because they are so inwardly focused. And then there are others who keep a broader perspective, and they keep going despite their circumstances, continuing to serve, continuing to care for others, continuing to keep their purpose in front of them. And so, you know, when we face intimidating fear, reality, we're faced with a choice. Do we turn our focus inward, or do we turn our focus outward? Jesus brings us peace in the midst of our uncertainty, and his peace challenges us to not lose sight of our purpose. In fact, I would say to you today that not only can you make a difference despite your experience and your circumstances, your experience and your circumstances can be a resource that the Holy Spirit can use to effectively carry out your purpose in your life. Your wounds are a story that he will use. Your wounds are a story he will use. And so Easter and the resurrection of Jesus is filled with purpose. Jesus' appearance to his disciples on the evening of the resurrection reminds us to not let our fears and our circumstances take our focus away from our purpose. Easter reminds us that fulfilling our purpose is rooted in suffering. Fulfilling your purpose is rooted in suffering, not just overcoming it, but because of our experience with it. The Holy Spirit uses that in our lives to help us fulfill our purpose. Some of you might be thinking, I wish you hadn't told me that today. Because now I have to embrace my scars, my pain, and my hardship. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross and suffered the pain. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. What I want to leave you with this morning is that Jesus desires to bring peace into our lives, into our families, into our circumstances, into our uncertainty, and whatever it is that scares you the most. And that he has come to each and every one of us today, and his message to us and his offering to us is peace. Jesus brought peace to the disciples, but his peace was quickly followed by a challenge to embrace their purpose. He's bringing us peace and he's challenging us. Don't lose sight of your purpose. Because Jesus brings peace and purpose into our fear and our uncertainty. Would you stand with us this morning? And perhaps you are here today, and there is a lot that's going on with you, and you are just scared. You are afraid. You don't know where to turn, and you don't know what to do. And I want to encourage you today to open your heart and allow the peace that Jesus brings to fill your life. On Good Friday, it was one of my favorite Good Friday sermons ever, and I've been to like 160 of them. No, I haven't that many. I've been to a lot. It was my favorite. I just sat there so moved as I watched people flow from their seats with their little piece of paper with their biggest burden written on it and symbolically laying it in the basket at the foot of the cross. I was so moved by that because I was reminded, wow, we all have stuff. I sit here and worship with people every single week, and they have heavy burdens. They have stuff. I mean, I know that. But we are all reminded of that again. We all have that stuff. And once again this morning, let's lay that at the cross and just say, Jesus, just bring your peace into my life. I'm going to lay my burdens at the cross. I'm going to give them to you. And maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. You might say, well, you know, that purpose you talked about, I don't have that purpose because I'm not a follower of Jesus. But you can be. And your life can have purpose and meaning when you decide that you want to follow him. But we have a purpose this morning, and it's the only thing that brings the joy and meaning to life is when we live out our purpose of what he's called us to be a part of in his kingdom. So as we worship this morning, in those moments, why don't you have your own conversation with him this morning and lay at his feet what's crushing you today? I'm going to pray for us at this time. And as I am, in your head or silently or below your breath, would you name whatever that fear is and say, Lord Jesus, I'm no longer a slave to this. I'm no longer a slave to this. I'm giving this to you. Father, this morning, as we stand here, each and every one, some of us share common fears, and some of us, our fears are very unique to us and to our family and to our circumstances. But we know that fear is destructive, and fear robs us, and fear just diminishes who we are and the joy that we can know and the life that we can live. And in this moment right now, whatever our fears are, we are giving them to you. We are calling them out. We are naming them to you and saying, God, take this fear. Take what's causing this fear. Work in the midst of what's causing this fear. Bring good out of the pain of this fear. Help me not to lose sight of you in the midst of this fear. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are with us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life on the cross. I thank you that you rose again. I thank you that you love each and every one of us. You want us to follow you. You want us to be a child of God. You want us to know the joy that comes when your peace flows into our lives, when you turn our mourning to joy, our hopelessness to hope, when you remind us that we have a future and we have a purpose and our life has meaning. We are so grateful for that. And I pray that as we leave this place today, may we leave free. No walls, no barriers, no pretense, no hiding. Free in the peace and the joy that the resurrected Jesus can bring to our lives. We pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I don't know where you were 4 years ago when I was here by myself, but I'm glad you're here today.